Throughout 2016, the fallout continued from the downturn in energy prices that started more than 2 years ago. They actually bottomed out earlier this year, but it will still be a long time before Oklahoma's oil and gas sector fully recovers. Joining me now to look back at some of the year's business stories is Sarah Terry Kobo. She's a senior reporter who covers energy and healthcare for the Journal Record, and she's also the newspaper's digital strategist. Sarah, the first thing we talked about this year was SandRidge Energy's delisting from the New York Stock Exchange during the first week of January, and the company's fortunes only seemed to go further downhill from there. And that was largely true not just for SandRidge, but other companies as well. We saw bankruptcies, mergers, liquidations. Take me back through some of the high and low points of the past year.
Well, right, Brian, that was pretty interesting. So SandRidge was among several energy companies that went in and out of bankruptcy, although some smaller oil and gas companies did not survive the cut and liquidated entirely. So SandRidge went into bankruptcy earlier this year in May, and they had a prepackaged, pre-organized agreement in which they kind of arranged it all with their creditors in advance. Through that agreement, they were able to eliminate several billion dollars in debt. I think it was about $3 billion in debt, which is good for them. They got back on the stock exchange. Their stock price is, you know, in the low to mid 20s right now. And you know, that has really created some momentum for SandRidge.
One of the most surprising stories of 2016 was the March death of Chesapeake Energy founder and former CEO Aubrey McClendon. His death affected not only the company that he led at the time, American Energy Partners, which now no longer exists, but his personal holdings as well. Individually, Aubrey McClendon owed a lot of people a lot of money, and it seemed like his probate case became more and more interesting every time there was a development, everything from multi-million dollar wine auctions to what your reporter Dale Denwalt covered just this week, a $500,000 claim that's based on a document that may be forged.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that Aubrey's death really shocked everyone, and he kind of seems to have this Steve Jobs kind of effect on people, you know. But as far as the probate case is concerned, you know, Dale reported just on Wednesday that the Thomas Quinn, this man who alleged that Aubrey had loaned him, you know, $500,000 in the early 90s, and then documents released this week in court, they had kind of a forensic analyst look at the loan letter, essentially, that said Aubrey was loaning this guy money, and they found that the letter was very similar to a template that Susie Orman had on her website, almost verbatim, very similar to that. And then also the font that was used in this purported letter that Aubrey had had a font called Tahoma, which really wasn't even released until 1995. So there's no possible way, you know, these documents said there's no possible way that he could have written this in 1991 if this font didn't come out in 1995. So just kind of a weird, interesting detail on the probate case.
Finally, as I mentioned a minute ago, I want to look ahead to 2017. Sarah, you closely follow the energy sector in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. What can the oil and gas industry be optimistic about going forward next year?
Well, there are a few things, you know, that seem to be promising for next year. Of course, commodity prices recovering seems to be a good thing. And what some analysts have said is that people are placing hedges on these higher prices. And that's really a good sign, is when a driller can lock in a price and say, I'm going to hedge my production at $50 a barrel. That means, you know, going forward, if the oil price drops, they're kind of guaranteed that $50 per barrel, which is a good thing. It's a really good risk management strategy, a lot of energy analysts and industry watchers think. You know, and Chesapeake seems to be on the move upwards as well. You know, Doug Lawler, analysts
say...
That's
the CEO of Chesapeake, Doug Lawler.
Right, yes. Doug Lawler is the CEO of Chesapeake, and he's doing a lot of things to sell off assets in other places. That means oil and gas wells, and also means land leases. They're getting really good prices for the last two sales that they had, which is good for the company. It helps them pay down debt. It helps them remain really focused, you know, and it just kind of helps the outlook for what this company is going to do in the next year.
I've been talking with the Journal Record's Sarah Terry Kobo, who's been filling in for her boss, Ted Strooley, this week. We're going to take next Friday off, so this will be our last Friday business conversation of 2016, but Ted will be back January 6th. Sarah, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for being here.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Brian.
And the Journal Records Year in Review issue looking back at some of the top stories of 2016 will be on newsstands December 30th. That's a week from today. KGOU and the Journal Record collaborate each week for the Business Intelligence Report. You can find us on social media at Journal Record and at KGOU News.